mention verses that are worth committing to memory. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 is one such passage. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God so that no one may boast. That sentence has been memorized by many, many Christians as it appears on many lists of important verses in the Bible. I encourage memorizing verses based on Psalm 119:11, which says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee," end quote. You might notice the verse as I recite it is a little different from what you would see in your pew Bible. That's because I memorized it in the King James Version back before there was an NRSV. You should memorize verses in the version that is most meaningful to you. The main reason is to store God's Word in your heart in order that it might be there when you need it. The NRSV says it this way, "I treasure your Word in my heart so that I may not sin against you." Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 is one of the key passages in Paul's writings for understanding his theology and was key for the reformers like John Calvin. While much has been said about the importance of grace in the theology of Paul, and much ink has been spilled talking about the difference in Paul's concept of grace and James' emphasis on works, this passage provides the important counterbalance between the two. The difference between the importance of grace and the importance of works is timing. The first thing we have to consider is restoration of our relationship with God. The fancy theological term for this is justification. All this means is to be made just or made right. Another form of the word is justified. There is a helpful way to remember what justification is. It means just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. According to Paul in Romans 6:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It is our human condition. As such, we are all in need of restoration. We are all in need of justification. What can we do to become justified? Nothing. That is Paul's point in this scripture and the point of the reformers when they use the slogan sola gratia, or grace alone. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. There is nothing we can do, nothing we can give to the perfect God, our Creator, to earn our salvation. What needs to be done to make us justified, that is, just as if I'd never sinned, has already been done by Jesus through His life, death, and resurrection. Our salvation, our justification, is not based on works. It's based on grace alone. But the Christian life only begins with justification. To stop at salvation is like saying, I'm going to stop at birth and not live my life. Justification is only the beginning. We cannot boast about our justification because it's not our doing. We cannot boast about belonging to Christ because it's Jesus' doing, not ours. But the next step is sanctification. Sanctification is the fancy word that just means being made holy. Remember that being holy means being set apart for God's purpose. Paul says it this way in verse 10. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. You see, Paul doesn't really disagree with James. After salvation or justification comes Christian life, the life we were created for. James is famous for saying, faith without works is dead. That's James 2:26. Paul is really saying the same thing. After Christian birth, being born from above, another way of saying justification, we are to live the life God has created for us, a life of good works. That is sanctification. So how do we do this? This is where we learn to live as Christians, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. In the musical Godspell, Mary Magdalene sings a song about this called Day by Day. She says, day by day, day by day, O dear Lord, three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. These are pretty words. But how do we move toward sanctification? As Jesus said, the law and the covenants are summed up by love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. Living this way takes prayer and takes moment by moment intention. God has helped us by giving us rules to live by. The rules we are given are not a matter of justification, not a matter of salvation. They are a matter of sanctification. When you buy something, you do not need the instructions in the box in order to make the purchase. But if you want to use the device properly, you need to use the instructions. God's commandments, properly and prayerfully applied, guide us in the process of sanctification, living the life of good works. God's word and commandments are the instructions which help us to operate the device which God has given us in the way the device was intended to operate. For example, the Ten Commandments. You've probably noticed that pictures of Moses show two large tablets of stone. Traditionally, the first tablet contains four commandments which relate to loving God. I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. 2, do not make a graven image. 3, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. 4, keep the Sabbath holy. These four commandments can be summed up by loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. The final six commandments are traditionally on the second tablet, which speak of our relationships with neighbors. Honor your father and your mother. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. These can be summed up by the command to love your neighbor as yourself. The fact that the Ten Commandments can be summed up by the love commandments caused Reverend Eugenia Gamble, a writer of the Horizon Bible Studies, to call them God's love letters to us. Indeed, God gives us the Word and the commandments, not to boss us around, but because God created us and knows that we are created for good works. It is only by living according to God's purpose for us that we can experience the true joy that comes from living the Christian life, our way of life. And remember, just as we cannot boast about how we earned our salvation, neither should we boast about our good works. Doing good works is what we were created for and is a matter of service that should become second nature. The motive for good works is not to be praised, so no boasting. The motive for good works is to love God and to love those loved by God, our neighbors. Let your good works shine before others like the light at the top of a hill, in order that others might be guided to love and serve the Lord as well. No boasting, just love. That is our way of life. Amen.